I don't have a joke for you today. I'm very sorry. But I do have a story to share with you, a story that reportedly, anyway, is true. Several years ago, in a small college town somewhere up in New England, there was a young man who decided that he wanted to become part of a spiritual community. And so he had a mission. And every Sunday he would sit out and he would visit another local church in that town or in the immediate area. And then one day he came across a beautiful little church sitting on top of a hill. The church was all white. And outside the entrance to the church, there was a sign. All are welcome here. This young man was wearing tattered blue jeans and a t-shirt that probably should have been in the laundry a day or two earlier. He had a beard and long, scraggly hair. The people in the congregation, on the other hand, were dressed in the finest. The men were wearing coats and ties, for the most part, and most of the ladies were in dresses, and some wore beautiful hats. But even though he was a couple of minutes late, he decided to go in and attend the service. And as he walked through the door, because he was a few minutes late, everybody turned to look to see who was coming in. And they saw this young man who seemed to be oblivious or didn't care that he was dressed very differently than everybody else. And so slowly he began to make his way down the aisle looking for a seat in the church. And there were seats that would have been available to him if only a congregant or two would decide to be welcoming and scoot over. Nobody did so. And so he just continued down the aisle and he eventually got to the very first pew of the church. And not having found a seat in the pew, he just casually decided he was going to sit down on the floor, and he did so and sat there and crossed his legs. The whole time, from the time that he walked into the church and all the while that he was coming down the aisle, the church was in silence. Even the minister of the congregation just stared, and the service actually came to a stop. Whatever was going through the minds of the people in their church, it wasn't an attitude of welcoming. And they were still in the silence, not knowing what to do, really rather stunned by the appearance of this young man. And then all of a sudden, there was another noise that came from the back of the church. Clomp, clomp, clomp. And so they turned to look to see what the noise was. And it was John. John was one of the elders of the church, possibly the most highly respected member of the congregation. And the sound that they were hearing was the sound of John's cane as he now began to make a slow procession down the aisle of the church. People were really glad to see John. John would know what to do about this situation. John would know how to handle what was going on. And what was in the minds of most of the people that were sitting there is John would find a way to let the young man know that he really didn't fit in. And John would find a way to make him go away. Clomp, clomp, clomp. John continued all the way until at long last, at a time that seemed like an eternity, he finally reached the front of the church, the first pew, and he was next to the young man. But then John did something that was very surprising and very unexpected. Very slowly, and with a certain degree of difficulty and pain, John sat down on the floor next to the young man. And with a wave of his hand toward the minister, he said, "You may continue now, Reverend. I just wanted to come and sit down next to this young man because I saw that he was all alone." I don't know the source of that story, so I can't guarantee you that it is absolutely the truth. But whether it's the truth or whether it's not, it really doesn't matter, because it really is right on point for what we want to talk about today. Radical. Radical inclusivity. And giving this talk today was really inspired or motivated within me about 2.5 weeks ago when I went to my grandson's high school graduation. And as I was sitting there taking in and really enjoying everything, the keynote speech that day was given by one of the faculty members. And keynote speeches are supposed to be inspiring, and this was. He gave a marvelous speech, and about midway through it, he was trying to paint a picture for the graduates about what the world that they were now graduating into really and truly looked like. And then he said something that absolutely blew me away. He told the young graduates that you are moving into the world. You are moving into a nation. You live in a nation in which half the population hates the other half. Hates the other half. And I sat there and I couldn't believe really what I was hearing. But then, frankly, the more I digested and I thought about it, as sad as it may seem, and certainly you could argue there was at least some amount of exaggeration in what he was emphasizing, too much of it was true. We live in a time today in which there is probably more polarization than any time in our history since the American Civil War. And thank God we are not engaged in an actual civil war, you know, that involving guns and artillery on an open battlefield. But make no mistake about it. Today, we are absolutely positively immersed in an uncivil war. Wars that are being fought on the battlefields of politics and religion and racism, in women's rights, sexual orientations, immigrations, and many, many other issues. And it's not just that we have different opinions. We have managed to draw lines in the sand that are so deep and so long. And we have people standing on both sides of that line, staring at one another, gazing at one another, with increasingly mounting tensions, discomfort, and in some cases, absolute hatred. I know we don't like to hear about this. We don't like the H word in unity. But all you have to do is watch the television for a little bit. All you have to do are listening to some of the congressional hearings that have been going on in our country over the past few months, and you come to the realization, yeah, this discord, this total disregard for one another's opinions is a reality in our country today. And it's not that we have not made any progress. I mean, the Emancipation Proclamation was issued in 1860, and it freed the slave, and it only took us another 104 years to pass the Civil Rights Act. But there are other positive signs. If you watch television these days, you will very much see African Americans and other minorities taking very prominent roles for primetime television programs. And the same could be said about gay and lesbian actors, or actors who are portraying gay and lesbian roles in the movies and in television. So I guess you could say, well, yeah, there's some element of acceptance that has taken place. And as these things are becoming more commonplace, yeah, there's a shift of consciousness. But my talk today is not about acceptance. My talk today is not about radical acceptance. My talk today is about radical inclusivity. And there's a big difference between acceptance and radical inclusivity. When I was 17, I had access sometimes to my dad's family car. What a great car this was. It was a 14-year-old powder blue Rambler station wagon, which most of my friends unkindly and sarcastically dubbed Supercar. Well, one day I wanted to take Supercar to North Avenue Beach and hopefully meet up with some of my friends. And my mother said, absolutely no problem. Go. Take your sister with you. Mom, you got to be kidding. She says, no, I'm not kidding. You have a choice. You take your sister with you or you don't get the car, you can't go. Now, I want to tell you, I would have rather have driven to North Avenue Beach with an abscess tooth rather than drag my 10-year-old sister along with me. But Mom wasn't giving in, so I caved. I accepted Mom's terms. But if you think that I was radically inclusive toward my sister that day, you would be grossly mistaken. You won't find a lot of people today walking around being self-proclaimed racists or sexists or chauvinists or homophobes. You just won't. Because there's been so much negativity that have been attached to these labels today that even if you were of such a mindset, you're not going to step forward and admit it. Nobody wants to be called any of these things. So, yeah, I guess that's a measure of progress. But again, there's a tremendous difference between having that avoidance mindset and stepping in and being in compliance. So the question comes up, well, what exactly do you mean by radical inclusivity? Because if somebody were listening to me up to this point, you know, I might get some feedback to the effect of, we've already opened the door to women in our golf club that has been exclusively for men for the last 150 years. What else do you want? What do you want? Blood? But again, a big difference between accepting a situation and being passionate and enthusiastic about it. The first one is all about going through the motions, while the second one is all about being engaged. So what do I want? What am I asking for? Do I want blood? Nah, I don't want blood. I'm asking for two things, three things really today. Spirit, love, and bridges. We all are creatures of our childhood experiences. We all come with our own package of concepts, ideas, beliefs, theologies, prejudices. And I'm not suggesting today that you have to give up any of these. What I am suggesting today is that you reach out, you actively engage and participate in reaching out and trying to establish some connection with somebody who holds opposing views, with somebody who is different. This doesn't require you to take on their perspectives. It doesn't require you to adopt their beliefs. It doesn't even require you to let go of anything that you really, really adhere to. What I'm asking is that you make an attempt to build a bridge. And no attempt to build a bridge is going to be possible unless you seriously love the people that are on the other side of the river or the other side of that so deeply drawn line. Being radically inclusive does not mean tolerating somebody else. Being radically inclusive doesn't mean ignoring other people. It doesn't mean entering into a peaceful coexistence with somebody. It doesn't mean signing on to a ceasefire. Being radically inclusive means passionately, enthusiastically, embracing and celebrating the difference, the diversity that is absolutely in everyone. Think about our way shower Jesus. He did not just tolerate the tax collectors. He didn't just tolerate sinners. He didn't tolerate the sick or the poor. And he didn't just accept them. He loved them. And there were broad divisions at his time as well. You know, there were the Samaritans that the Jews absolutely thought were lowlifes. And there's no question, yes, there would have been Jews who actually hated the Samaritans. But Jesus accepted, embraced, and blessed the Samaritan woman at the well. And he gave us the story of the Good Samaritan, of which we are all familiar with. And in so doing, he was about the business of loving and building bridges. So, is this radical enough yet? Yeah, we're getting close. One more thing. If you're going to be radically inclusive, you first and foremost have to be radically inclusive with yourself. We all have things about ourselves that we don't like. We all have parts of us that are broken. And all of us as young children are taught that we should be careful, that we should maybe be afraid, and maybe we should distance ourselves from people or things that are different, that are not familiar to ourselves. And unfortunately, as children, we are also taught that there are things about ourselves that we should dislike. If I were to give every one of you a pen and paper and say, complete this following sentence and make a list. I absolutely love everything about myself except. There isn't a person here that, if you're honest, would not have words that you would insert after that word except. Eric Butterworth wrote, "We do not take people as they are, but rather as fits or misfits according to our standards and expectations." Boy, is this ever true. But nowhere is it more true than when we begin to judge ourselves, because we are really difficult upon ourselves. And we have standards and expectations about ourselves as well. In both cases, whether it's about others or about ourselves, regretfully, those standards and expectations that we hold aren't so much about creative possibilities in which we've tapped into our divine reality, but they're standards and expectations that we have adopted because that's what the world says that we should be about. Jesus gave us the second greatest commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. You know, when I was putting this talk together and I was thinking, you know, maybe that's a problem. Maybe that's exactly what we're doing. We're loving our neighbor as we do ourselves. And how can we honor, how can we respect diversity and differences in others? How can we respect the opinion of somebody who thinks differently than we do if we can't even go to those places and accept those things about ourselves? How could we build bridges with others by loving them if we can't build bridges within ourselves by loving and taking care of ourselves? How could we embrace people? How could we honor those that look different? How could we respect those that think differently? When we are scared, when we are sad, there's a natural human tendency that regardless of what is frightening us or what is making us sad, is internal or external, there's a human tendency to fight it off, to react, to create separation between ourselves and whatever that is, and to create distance. And sometimes that process involves getting really ugly and really getting mean. Because we develop these personas. And those masks that we wear, they're not just there to fool the outside world and to get people to think, hey, this is what I'm really about. We wear those personas, we wear those masks to fool ourselves as much as anybody else. Because again, we have pain and we have brokenness. And it's hard for us to accept that. And so we try to bury it. We try to hide it. Becoming radically inclusive means accepting the parts of yourselves that are broken. Accepting those times when you have failed. Accepting those parts of yourselves that are our so-called imperfections. Well, it's easier said than done. And that's the great thing about the minister. You know, you get to get up here and you have to set the bar really high for other people. But how do we get there? How do we at long last learn to let it go? How do we at long last learn to embrace that part of us that shows up in blue jeans and a filthy, dirty, tattered t-shirt? Well, in unity, we really are keen on prayer and meditation. And, you know, very frequently we'll go into meditation and we'll extend that invitation Take whatever is bothering you, whatever is troubling you at the moment, and leave it at the door. You could pick it up on your way out because you want to come into meditation without being encumbered by any of those things. But wherever you are, wherever you go, there you are, and that includes times of meditation. So maybe what we need to do is when we take this to prayer with a goal of becoming people that are capable of loving more, people that are capable of embracing more, people that are capable of radically including things that are different, different diversities, both outside and within. Maybe we need to show up like that in prayer. Here I am, Lord. The whole deal. The total package. With all of my human experiences, positive and negative. And all I want to do is listen. So let's take this now into our time of meditation together.